be assured again that our God still lives, that our God's still in control in spite of all the things going on around us. We serve a real and living God and a good God, and I'm thankful for that. I need the refreshing that comes week by week. I don't know about you, but I need the refreshing week by week. I need the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I need the strength of God's Word to help me in this Christian life. There's a lot of, and Sister Ruth said, we fight different battles. But in a lot of ways, we fight similar battles. Satan just customizes them for us. But we fight similar battles. And I'm thankful when we come together, we can be strengthened by hearing God's goodness to each other. I need your prayers this morning. First, I'll say I'm glad to see each one of you out. I'm thankful that each one of you have chosen to be here today. And I'm thankful for God's goodness to allow us to meet again. But I do desire your prayers this morning. Struggled a little bit getting my thoughts together. One of the burdens of my heart is to express the reality of knowing God. Either this is true or it's not. I mean, it's the idea of just going to church and having religion. I'm old enough that life is way too short to waste that much time and money every week if it isn't real. Amen? And in the same way, I don't want to just read verses to you and make comments. I want to be able to express by God's help the reality of this Christian walk, that we can deal with what is real. And that's what truth is. Truth is reality. To deal with what's real so we could be helped in making heaven our home. Amen? That we come together with the idea that we'd help each other in making heaven our home. You pray for me this morning. If you want to turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter. We're going to take our text from there. And while you're turning, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness of another week. We thank you for the answered prayers. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your help in every way. We thank you for the songs that have stirred our hearts again this morning. Now I pray as we look into your word, you'll quicken our mind that we might be able, Lord, to rightly express the truth of your word. Quicken our mind by your spirit that we might be able to rightly convey the truth of this Christian walk, that we might know the tricks of Satan and might be strengthened in our walk with thee. Help us, we pray. Anoint the ears of the hearers by your spirit. We desire your presence here with us in our midst this morning, that you'll take the few words that are spoken, and the hearers will hear more than the spoken word, but they'll be able to hear the message from you. Help us together this morning, and we'll give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who've been here every week know I've been stuck for a while going back to the same subject of difficulties and discouragement in life, right? You know, because where I'm at, a lot of times what I'm going to preach, what I'm dealing with, because I don't have enough to hold several thoughts in my head at the same time. So what I'm thinking is a lot of times what I preach, what's on my heart. There's a lot of battles and trials we face in life, right? There's difficult places in our Christian walk. And when you get saved, it isn't all just blessings and goodness from then on. Amen. There are struggles and difficulty in living this Christian life. One of the most perplexing and difficult battles we face as Christians is the battle that goes on inside us. Amen. Sister Ruth alluded to that. That's one of the most difficult and frustrating, at least in my life, one of the most difficult and frustrating battles. The battle between our conscience and, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say our human nature. You know, there's things that we want that are not pleasing to God sometimes. Amen? If that wasn't true, there wouldn't be no such thing as temptation. But that's a battle sometimes that goes on in our mind. Galatians, the 5th chapter and 16th verse, 17th verse, I've chosen for a text this morning. Galatians 5, 16, 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. Where I want to start is by looking at that last phrase in verse 17. So you cannot do the things that you would. So you can't do what you want. What a frustrating place to be. Amen? Unable to do what you want. Yet this is a battle that every Christian faces. The essence of salvation is this. People live in sin aren't trying to be evil. Most of them. There may be a few. Most people that aren't saved aren't trying to be evil. They aren't trying to be wicked. They're trying to do what they want to do, right? They want to make the choice that they think is going to make them happy, make them rich, make them enjoy life. I mean, they want to do what they want to do. That's why you and I lived in sin before we were saved, right? We wanted to do what we wanted to do. That's a temptation we battle after we're saved. We sometimes want to do what we want to do. Amen? And yet, when we come to a place of salvation, the power of sin that's broken is that we submit ourselves because of the love Jesus Christ showed on the cross, because of His love for us, because we see the wickedness of our selfishness and our sin. Because of that, we come for forgiveness, we ask God to forgive us, and we turn. We repent. We turn from a life of sin to a life of pleasing God. The essence of salvation is no longer living to please ourselves, but living to please God. Right? I mean, that's the core of salvation. But self don't go away. Something you soon find after you've been saved. Christ is on the throne, but self is not as dead as we think he is sometimes. Right? You run into that battle shortly down the road where there's times you still want to do what you want to do. There's a battle going on inside of us, in our mind, that are competing desires. Amen? And we have to choose whether we're going to fulfill our selfish desires, sin, please ourselves outside the bounds that God set for us, or whether we're going to do what we know pleases God. You know, there's part of us in this Christian life, there's part of us that corresponds to both. Because I'm going to tell you, there is no place in this salvation where you lose being a human being. And on that level, we still want what we want. What pleases us, to avoid pain, to make gain, to have pleasure, right? I mean, that's still part of us. It's with us. And yet, as Christians, we truly do want to do what pleases God. I mean, when you're in temptation, that's the battle that's going on in your mind. You don't want to fail God. You want to do what pleases Him. But on the other hand, you still do want to do what you want to do, right? And that battle's going on in our mind. Another translation, this verse 17 says, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. Desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. In this verse, in the Bible where it says flesh here, it isn't denoting something inherently evil. It's just talking about our body. It's our flesh and bone as opposed to our soul or our spirit. I mean, that's the distinction that's being made. And by implication, flesh here then means our human nature. There are desires and motives associated with pleasing our human nature or our physical being without regard to moral considerations. I mean, there are desires that arise in us that relate to pleasing our physical being without regard to moral consideration. The desires for pleasure, desire for possession, pride, who we are, what we've done. Amen? It's really its selfishness exhibited in a number of ways. And it can be from some pretty mild ways up to the grossest of sins. But all of it has in its core selfishness. The desires of our flesh, our physical desires, our human nature, are against the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit within us is opposed to our human nature in that sense. The fulfilling of our human desires, the pleasing of our self, is helped to be controlled and subdued or held in proper check by the presence and help of the Holy Spirit. In our Christian life, we're not alone. If we've been saved, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit dwelling in us. And in that, He's there to help us overcome the desires of the flesh, to overcome the desires of our selfishness here, our desires that pertain to this life, and hold that in proper check. All of us, I say again, all of us as Christians face this battle. Are we going to please ourselves? Are we going to please God? It's particularly disturbing sometimes when you're first converted, because for most young Christians, this takes them by surprise. Because as they're under conviction, as they're considering turning their life over to God. They have this image in their mind. Sometimes we promote it by saying, you know, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be good. All blessings. And we kind of don't let you in on the full truth sometimes like we ought to. And then when you begin to have this battle, you're torn with old desires sometimes, and you still have a desire to please God, it creates confusion. Satan's right there to say, oh, you're not saved. You're not a real Christian. If you're a real Christian, you wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't have that desire if you was a real Christian. And we go through this turmoil in our mind. Amen? And there's times it's less and sometimes it's more. But after a period of fighting this war within, most people either give up and yield to themselves, or they grow deeper in their walk with God. Amen? We don't just stay at the same place. Either we continue and grow, and we're going to talk about how to do that in a minute, but we grow in our walk with God and our relationship with God, or they give in and begin just to live a selfish life again. They just go back to yielding to doing what they want to do. Some people have concluded that this Christian life is just a life of constant frustration and failure. That they interpret this verse to say we just can't do what we want to do in pleasing God. Well, that isn't so. Amen? Romans 6:15 says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Hey, it isn't. This Christian life is not a life of just sinning and yet being forgiven. This Christian life really is a life of being changed. Amen? Being changed from living to please ourselves to living to please God. There is a reality conveyed in God's Word of a changed life. Amen? Too often the church's witness today is weak because we're not exhibiting that change in a great way. Amen? But that is the reality of salvation brings a change in our heart. We don't have to serve ourselves in sin and Satan. Amen? We don't have to do what we want to do in that respect. Amen? We can say no to ourselves and yes to pleasing God. Some have given up the battle by no longer resisting the urge of their own wants that is opposed to pleasing God. They just given up the fight. And they mistakenly believe the relief they feel of no longer fighting to be the peace of God. But that's sadly mistaken. Amen? You quit fighting, you're going to have peace either way to some extent inside. I mean, whichever one you yield to. But the path of flesh, the path of sin, ultimately, always leads to death and destruction. You hear me? Always, ultimately, leads to death and destruction. There's a better way. There's another way to peace within. That's where I want to encourage you this morning. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's saying if we learn to walk or live, walk there I think you all know means live. We learn to live in the Spirit, then we won't be giving in to our own desires. Learning to walk in the Spirit, listen to me now. Learning to walk in the Spirit is not an absence of desires. It's not a removing of our humanity. But it's a power to live in a way as to not fulfill them in a way that displeases God. Amen? Walking in the Spirit is not an absence. You don't quit being a human. You don't quit having the normal desires of a human being, right? But you learn by the help of God, to have the power to not fulfill those desires in a way that displeases God. I've said it a lot of times. I want you to hear it. This Christian life is learning to live with God as much or more than it is to learn to live for God. I know we often living for God, and there's a truth that we do things for God, right? I mean, there is a truth to living for God. But the reality of the Christian life is much more living with God. Amen? We need to learn to walk or live in the Spirit. Walk has the idea of traveling through life, going down through life's pathway, moving through life together with the Holy Spirit daily. Amen? Not just when we come together, not just special occasions, but learning to live in the Spirit moment by moment, day by day, moving through life side by side. Learning to live with Him throughout the day, every day. What do I mean by that? Well, part of that, being conscious of God's presence with us. If we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes, we're not conscious of the presence of God with us. Amen? Oftentimes, even as Christians, we don't live with that consciousness. Learning to live with the Holy Spirit, I describe it this way. Learning to live with the Spirit, you get up in the morning and first thing you do is say, God, help me today. Help me to live this day. Thank you for another day of life. Help me to live it for you. As you will go through the day, you learn to talk to God. You know, I have learned as I've got older that I'm not near as smart as I was at 20. At 20, I had an answer for everything. I had an answer for everything. And I would tell you. But as I've lived life, I've learned there's a whole bunch of things that I'm not sufficient for. A bunch of things I'm not wise enough for. A whole bunch of things I don't have the ability for. And as I come in situation, when the kids were little, there was frustrations. I pray, God, help me to know how to deal with this. Help me to know what to do. When I worked many years in the bank, people would come in, I had to make decisions, and I would say, God, help me to know what's the right thing to do. Help me to know what ought to be done here. Even working on the car under there, I get frustrated and say, God, help me. Get this bolt off. You know I need this thing to run tomorrow. I need to go to work. Help me to get it to run. Now, the bolts didn't magically fall off. Amen? I didn't have wisdom that I made every decision perfectly. Amen? But it was a conscious awareness that God was with me, that God helps me in every part of life, that I need God's help in every part of life, and then I could see God's help to me in so many ways, day by day. And learn to talk to Him. I mean, as you're driving down the road, you find yourself talking to God. As you're in different situations, you find yourself talking to God. Amen? Learning to live with Him day by day and bringing an awareness of His presence into your life. To walk in the Spirit is to be under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is in is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, have you ever seen somebody get drunk? Well, I hope you don't, but most of you may have. But as they do, alcohol slowly changes the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they think. I mean, little by little, but surely, it begins to influence how they behave, what they say, what they do. In a similar way, but not exactly, we're to allow the Spirit to influence how we talk, how we walk, what we do. That the influence of the Spirit is by degree, but the influence of the Spirit affects us in how we walk, how we talk, and what we do, and how we live our life. Amen? Now, the Spirit never takes control of us like alcohol, where we're no longer in control, folks. We always yet have control. But the Holy Spirit can influence us in a very mighty way. One of the best ways to be filled with the Spirit is to keep other things out. Amen? One of the best ways to keep other things out is to be filled with the Spirit. Don't leave room. By that I mean, read God's Word. Take heed to the warnings. Take heed. You know, so often we read God's Word and we don't really apply it to ourselves. But read it and say, hey, how should this affect me? Should this change anything I'm doing in life? Should this change the way I interact with other people? Should this change something? Make it part of you as you read God's Word. Know His commandments. Amen? Oftentimes I get in a battle and, you know what? A scripture comes to my mind that gives me the strength and help that I need. And that's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is to bring to remembrance His Word. Amen? Discipline yourself. By that I mean have boundaries to keep you out of the danger zone. I know nobody wants restrictions. And every time you say, give advice this way, well, you know, the Bible don't condemn that. Well, Listen, we're bound for eternity. All of us someday are going to stand in front of a real God who will decide where we spend eternity. Whether it be in a place that's so good it's beyond description. I mean, we talk about streets of gold and everything, you know, because it's the best things we know to describe. But it's going to be a real place for people in real bodies that's created. Amen. Jesus Christ, the first fruit, resurrection of the body. We're going there with a real body in a real place. In a world that's made for resurrected beings like you and I. And it's good. I don't know what it all involves because the Bible doesn't tell us a lot of detail. But I can tell you this, it's good beyond description. We're going to be there where there's no pain, no sin, no getting old, no getting sick, time without end. Good beyond imagination. And there's another place described as a lake of fire that is torment and agony beyond imagination where there's no hope ever, ever, ever. Now, not a hard choice, is it? Not a hard choice where you want to end up. Amen? So why we gamble with this thing? Amen? Set some boundaries. Keep yourself in the safe zone. You don't need a verse. If you know going certain places, doing certain things, inevitably ends up in temptation and in a failure, stay away from it. Amen. I don't care if everybody else in the church can do it. Stay away from it. Amen? Amen? Set some boundaries in your life that keeps you in a place of pleasing God. Amen? I worry sometimes when people say, what must I do to be saved, that are already saved? And well, they don't really say it in that words. What they say is, how far can I go and still be okay with God? That's a bad question, folks. What you need to be asking is, how close can I get to God? Amen? Discipline yourself. Have boundaries in your personal life to keep you out of danger zones. We're all tempted with different things. There's certain things that draw me that have no appeal to you. There's certain things that draw you that have zero appeal to me. Set your own boundaries in your life in a way that keeps you out of unnecessary temptation. You're going to run into enough temptation that is unavoidable in life. Stay out of the ones you can avoid. Amen? It's one of the big parts of winning any war is knowing the enemy, right? Well, we've met the enemy, and it's us. My biggest obstacle making heaven my home is me. Amen? Your biggest obstacle making heaven in your home is you. Know your weaknesses. Know how Satan's likely to attack. Know where he's likely to attack. Amen? Fortify yourself. Spend time in prayer. There is no substitute for building your relationship with God except spending time with him. You can't. This Christian life is really about having a relationship with God. You can't build a relationship with God without spending time with him. Amen. Amen? Spend time in prayer with God. Learn to talk to God. Learn to live with God. Learn to look for his help. Learn to listen to his voice. You know, there's times I know God's talking to me. But I have a real difficult time describing that to you in a way you'd understand. I really would. But I know that God's, you know, there's times when I feel a caution. No. Stay away. Don't do that. Or an impulse that, yeah, I really should do this instead of that. And there's times I know it's God's voice in that. But you know how you know that? By learning to live with God and spend enough time with God that you can hear his voice. Amen. Amen? We should make a conscious effort to seek God's help, to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the Spirit, and to yield to his influence in our life. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Learn to live life with the conscious awareness of God with you. And then seek to grow. Amen? Learn to live with God and then seek to grow. Our passions are strengthened by our indulgence in them, right? The more you give in to some passion, some desire, the stronger it gets, the harder it is to break, right? I mean, we know that. On the other hand, our passions are weakened by our discipline of them. Amen? It's like a diet. And you can tell I am not real familiar with diets, but I do like food. But I do, to try and stay alive a little bit longer, I do diet from time to time. And I find it intensely difficult. first couple of weeks. But you know what? After a period of time of discipline, I find it easier. And it works like that in almost every other human desire to keep it in bounds. The more that you discipline your passions and don't indulge them, the better you're going to be able to grow in the Lord. Again, it goes back to setting guides in our life, disciplining ourselves, keeping ourselves in a safe place. Amen? There are times when, especially as a young Christian or beginning Christian, when we're overcome by a passion or a desire or an emotion, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. There are paths you start down that after you reach a certain point, your emotions can move beyond your real ability to control them. And they begin to control us. And I don't care which one it is, whether it's anger or lust or any of them. As you yield to those emotions and those desires, you reach a point where they control you instead of you controlling them. Amen? Walking in the Spirit day by day allows us greater victory in our passions. That means a greater control over our desires and our emotions. You cannot directly control your desires and emotions. Your desires are part of you, and your emotions are responses. Amen? But by a disciplined life, you can learn, amen, to control even your desires and emotions in a greater way by the amount you discipline yourself or indulge those desires. Does that make sense? Amen? I know people today respond, oh, it's legalism. No. It's called living a moral life. Living a holy life. Amen? Discipline ourselves to obey God and not allow ourselves to become in a condition where we're pleasing ourselves instead of pleasing God. Amen? By walking in the Spirit daily and consistently, our passions are subdued. You won't live long enough to get out of trouble and out of battles in life. But you can move beyond certain battles in your life, win those victories by God's help and by His Spirit's help, and move on in life. Amen? There's some things I struggled with 30-some years ago that I don't struggle with today. Amen. God has granted me victory in those areas by His help and by a disciplined life. God's granted me victory in those areas. Amen. Well, I hope you're making sense of what I'm saying this morning. I really do. Because this is one of the keys, folks, of living a real Christian life. Of living a life that has victory over sin in it. A life that's a witness to the world around us of the power of God's salvation that He can give us. A witness of the reality of the Holy Spirit living within us to help us, amen, live this Christian life. And that is so lacking today. Amen. Among Christians. It's so lacking today. It's also the place joy is found. Because this battle, really, by the help of the Holy Spirit, can be subdued in our life. And a place of greater peace, greater joy, amen, can be found in our walk with God than what many are experiencing today. We're a little bit short on time, but I want to finish by looking at the results of walking in the Spirit. Amen? Can we do that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruit's what's naturally produced. If I backed up, and I didn't for the sake of time, but I could have read in verse 19 through 21, the works of the flesh. I will, just real quick. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's what giving into ourself yields. Really. Living after our own desires, that's the end result of that. It isn't something pretty. It isn't something anybody wants to be. People don't end up there on purpose. They end up there by doing what they think is going to be good for them. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, results in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It results in things that are beautiful. Amen? You used to talk about the beauty of holiness. Well, this is the beauty of holiness right here. Love. You know, fruit is that which is naturally produced. And these fruits you don't have to put on. They naturally follow yielding to the Holy Spirit. If we yield on, now that don't mean you don't have to give effort to some of these. But they do naturally follow yielding ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit refers to the attitudes of life and thought that become characteristic of those who walk in the Spirit. In fact, that's a good way to say, how am I doing? Am I walking in the Spirit? Or am I walking after the flesh, please myself? Well, take a look at these two lists. Which one better describes your life, the fruit you're bearing? Let's look at them real quick. Love. First fruit of the Spirit. People who really know God and submit themselves to the Spirit of God live in love. First, a love for God, which exhibits itself in a desire to be pleasing to God in everything. And then a desire for the good of others. And then actions that are in accordance with those desires. I don't care how much somebody says they love others and they love God. You can tell if they really love by the way they act. Amen? Love is, we could go there to the 13th chapter of Corinthians and know how love behaves. Amen? Love behaves a certain way. It does have warm, fuzzy feelings, but it also produces behaviors. Amen? Second is joy. If there's one thing that I think is often glaringly absent in modern Christianity, it's true joy. I know there's a lot of substitutes in singing and a lot of substitutes in other things to try and fill that void, but true Christianity produces joy. That is a deep-seated emotion of satisfaction and happiness. When you're satisfied, you're happy with the Lord. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." Joy is an essential part of a real Christian experience. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." These three form the core of our experience with God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then peace. Peace is really a contentment within. Amen? There are a lot of people today got a lot of things. Even a lot of Christians got a lot of things going on, a lot of good things in life. But too many do not have peace and contentment. Peace is being free from agitation and disturbance. Calm. Long-suffering. I often say long-suffering is a virtue that's just what it sounds like. It's suffering long. Forbearance, patience is part of long suffering. Long suffering is enduring injuries patiently for a long time. And if you think that's easy, if you think you can do that without the help of the Holy Spirit, you haven't had very many injuries in life. Amen? Gentleness. The influence of the Holy Spirit produces a certain kindness and consideration in our life. Goodness. This influence of the Holy Spirit produces generosity, an open heart in our lives. Amen? Faith. In this sense, the word faith really has more to do with faithfulness. Trustworthy. Those who are yielded to the Holy Spirit are trustworthy. They're meek, gentle, humble. And temperance is self-controlled. Amen? These are the fruits that people around us can see that are a witness to the reality of the salvation we claim. You know why one of the reasons the world around us doesn't believe the message of Christianity is because so few that claim it actually show the fruits of it. Amen? And we need to be careful in our own lives that we don't look around and see the excesses of wickedness and start feeling real good about ourselves and say, look who we are. We need to look at the mirror of the Bible and say, how many of these fruits am I showing? How good is the fruit crop of the fruits of the Spirit in my life? And if it ain't where it ought to be, then we know we need to give more diligent effort to living in the Spirit. And I dare say, as I read through that list, some of them I feel pretty good about. And then others of them I twinge when we come across. And a lot of us are the same way. Amen? We have room to grow. Our role model, the goal we're shooting for, is to come to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Now, none of us have attained that yet. You know what that means? We all still have room to grow. So we all still have effort to be put into learning to submit to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, discipline our lives, and live with Him in a way that shows the influence of the Spirit lived out in our life. Amen? I tell you what, these fruits of the Spirit will bring with them a deep peace and satisfaction. It subdues the restlessness that so engulfs most people today. They have everything, and yet they're restless because they're not satisfied. God help it not to be us. Amen? God help it to not be us that proclaim to know Jesus Christ, to have found the satisfying portion in life, that we not still be restless and have to have Christ and everything else everybody else has too. Amen? I said it before, He's my portion in life. He's my piece of the pie. Everybody wants their piece of pie. My piece of pie is Jesus Christ. And there's times I need reminded of that. Amen? Because I can get looking around and thinking I got a small piece. If you got Jesus Christ, you didn't get a small piece. You didn't get shortchanged. Amen? On your lot in life, your portion in life. May God help you. Really, 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 that's my intent, is to see us come to a place of greater victory, a place of greater satisfaction in our Christian life, so that we can be of a greater influence and help to those around us, to our kids, to our grandkids, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers. Amen? That we can be a greater influence, that they can see what you have in such a way that they desire to have what you have. Amen? Because they see not just see the discipline of it, but see the fruits of it. Amen? That they can want what you have. May God help us. As you stand, as we sing a verse of song in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank